It's one of the shortcomings of most historical archives, the past as told to us by those who got their names in the paper, public officials, and those who are celebrated for whatever reason. The stories of everyday people don't often get recorded. University of Hawaii West Oahu's Center for Labor Education and Research is collating a priceless archive of Hawaii's history, unedited first-person reminiscences of plantation life. CLEAR, as it's called, is working to digitize, preserve, and catalog the Rice and Roses Plantation History Collection, thousands of videotapes. We spoke with documentary producer and UH West Oahu faculty member Chris Conybear about the work and its importance.
It's important because the voices that we are making available tell us about our history from a very personal point of view. These are not politicians, and these are not the movers and shakers. Although they were movers and shakers, but their voices could get lost, and that their perspective on a very important part of Hawaii history needs to be heard and needs to be revived, and the next generations need to know what their great-great-great-grandparents went through and what it was like.
What was it like?
It was hard. People came here from Japan not knowing exactly what they were getting into. They were told all kinds of things, and they got here, and they were all of a sudden working 6-7 days a week. They were working 10-12 hours a day. The pay that they received was sometimes much less than they thought they were going to get. They were told things like they would be able to participate perhaps in government, and they really weren't able to. It was hard work, backbreaking, hard work. And yet, they, like many immigrants, did it.
Persevered, right?
They persevered, but it wasn't easy. And it wasn't this, story of, we always like to tell the story that, they really did fine and everything was great. Mm-hmm. Well, it was really much harder than that. It was kind of like a frontier. There was gambling. There was prostitution. There was starvation. There was people running away from husbands and wives. There were all these stories that were going on that talked about a community that was really facing hard times. Those parts of history, we don't want to get covered up. We want people to remember exactly how it was.
And yet there's a tendency to prettify our history.
The old oaken bucket syndrome. Yeah, it was all wonderful on the plantation.
And Hana butter days.
We had such a great community, and some of that's true.
Yeah.
But the other part of it needs to be told as well.
Well, I think if you're going to understand the whole nature of the social contracts that were created, you have to understand the adversity that it overcame.
That's right. I mean, the fact of the matter is that people were locked into basically indentured servitude.
Mm-hmm.
And many of them never made enough money to pay off the company store.
Yeah.
So, we talk about those things happening in the South, but they happened here as well.
There also, we had a system of marital arrangements that was, based on the whole picture bride phenomenon. And those marriages lasted in spite of their origins.
Many did, but an awful lot of them didn't. We've talked to people, and the part of the problem culturally is that on the record, not so much. Off the record, we heard from picture brides who ran away from several husbands, never got divorces, and remarried.
Really?
Some picture brides came here and were basically forced into prostitution to pay off gambling debts. There was a lot of things going on that we now look at, and certainly there were marriages that were just as successful or more so than most of the ones that happen today through love marriages.
Yeah, yeah.
So we have both stories, and we need to remember that history is not always pretty.
Well, those troubling stories reveal a great deal, and they also, one of the things they reveal is our tendency to avoid troubling stories when we look at the past.
Right. Well, we do have, the good stories, and there are some really positive, wonderful stories that this archive is capturing. And, it's worth hearing those as well.
Sure.
Because you think, well, how could people do all this? How could they survive? And you listen to these folks talk about it, and you say, wow, isn't that a great story? So we have those kinds of moments. I think the other thing to remember about this is immigration. Immigration is a big topic now. immigration from Asia was not really favored by the United States or the powers that be in Hawaii. I mean, there were severe limits. The reason we had picture brides is that the United States made what they called a gentleman's agreement prohibiting people to come unless they were married. So people got married long distance via pictures. So that's how they came in. So between 1908 and 1924, hundreds of thousands of people came. But immigrants from Asia were looked at askance. There was a Chinese Exclusion Act. There were a lot of barriers to immigration. And yet, because of the economic needs here, there were ways found around it.
We just needed the workers in the fields.
200,000 Japanese immigrants between 1885 and 1924. Interestingly enough, this is the 150th anniversary of the first immigrants that came in 1868, and that was a small group of maybe 150, and it didn't really work. I mean, it started it, but it wasn't until 1885 that the large-scale immigration happened. And that has to do with economic factors in Japan and the U.S., the amount of preparation that was done and things like that. But this is the 150th anniversary of the very first Japanese immigration here to Hawaii.
And most of the time when you read an account of Hawaii's history, you would read things like X number of people arrived during these years, overview things. Right.
Right.
The value of an archive like this is that this is a personal stories from people that nobody ever heard of. What was it like to be one of those 200,000?
Exactly. And our stories are everything from picture bride stories and the next group that we're going to be digitizing, preserving, and then making available. So it's not just having them in the archive, but we plan to be making smaller versions of these stories for curriculum development so that teachers in high schools and at the university can use them as personal examples. So basically, the whole idea is, yes, let's get the real person perspective on what was going on.
It also allows you to kind of create a generation of historical researchers who are using material that no one has seen before.
That's right. I mean, we used excerpts from these interviews and documentaries we did, and, you know, we would interview somebody for an hour and use 30 seconds on air.
Yeah.
But we kept the whole hour. So there's a lot of material there that has not been exposed to the public view for some time, and we're really proud of the ability to get this stuff out there.
And as long as there's material that hasn't been examined, there are new things to be learned.
There certainly are new things to be learned, and I think the other thing is that since I work with students and with educators, people are really not that aware of this history. I mean, we know the kind of romantic notions,
right?
But people aren't really aware of the struggles. People aren't really aware of, you know, what their great-grandparents or great-great-grandparents went through. They never, and within the families, they very often didn't talk about it. So I was very lucky because I was new here, a Howley boy from Cleveland. And these folks would bring me into their house, and we would sit down, and they would say, "Chris, you're asking me questions I wish my kids or grandchildren would ask." Mm. And they never have. So I was really privileged, really felt lucky that people would tell these stories. And so we want to share them.
It's tough to understand the present without some understanding of the past, isn't it?
Have to know the past. To know what the future is going to be, you better know what happened before.
Chris Conybeare is an attorney and documentary filmmaker on the faculty of the University of Hawaii West Oahu's Center for Labor Education and Research. You can learn more about the project on our Facebook page.